Elias, we've been hearing wonderful little snatches from your book. I can't remember the title, but the cover is blue, which is based on how many years that you've spent behind the book counter in a bookshop?
Too many. Way too many. I think I started in 2012 and I've only finished about 3 weeks ago. So, yeah, some time spent in the book trade.
Oh, don't tell me you've finished because you've become such a famous author now you can afford to retire.
Definitely not. I think one of the real shocks of joining the publishing industry and becoming a quote-unquote author was realising how little we're paid. Now, I landed a gig at Melbourne Uni doing research work down there, and so sadly my time in bookshops has come to an end and I'm extremely pleased about that.
Well, in a way, this whole book is a research project, isn't it, where you've sort of, were you sitting there taking notes or have you just got a phenomenal memory?
I've got a pretty good memory, but I think some of the experiences I had were so weird that they sort of burn themselves into your brain. And so often on the bus on the way home, I'd kind of remember them and write them up. And that was how they started. They started as Facebook posts just for sort of friends and family to kind of prove that it happened to me. It was like taking a weird Polaroid in your brain. God, that really did happen. That man just said that to me. Or, you know, that kid really did jump up and down on that book with no nappy on. You know, you sort of, you're quite relieved to have an outlet for some of the weirdness that you experience.
And have you come to the conclusion that bookshops just attract these kinds of people? Or do you think that, you know, that they're out there doing it everywhere?
I think to an extent it's everywhere, but bookshops, I think you do get a really high-grade human weirdness, partly because, you know, bookshops are considered a really safe place. They're a place where you can hang out, you don't have to spend any money. It's usually very sort of quiet in there and very comfortable. And so I think people often, you know, they're the natural resort of eccentric people or, you know, frightened people. And that was a part of my job I took very seriously. You want to make sure that you're compassionate with people, because I think that there's so few places, especially in this kind of massively neoliberalized, corporatized world, where you can just hang out and not be bothered. So, yeah.
Well, that would partly explain the popularity of so many bookshops with couches now, wouldn't it? And little, and little places to have tea and coffee. I mean, were you offering that service as well?
We resisted staunchly. Yeah, I think the idea of introducing food into, you know, what was already a bit of a barnyard was just horrifying to all of us. We were often told that we should really get coffees and things like that happening. And I think that's too far. That's making the bookshop your living room. So we resisted, mainly because we all felt extremely horrified by the idea of the extra work and extra cleaning. My God. That didn't stop people eating and drinking and kind of genuinely making themselves at home in the shop, though. So, you know, rest assured, three-course meals were often had.
On a more serious note, how do you feel about the future of bookshops? You know, I think there was quite a worry there about 5 years ago or more that, you know, they were going to fail and everybody would be out there getting their e-readers and things, but they seem to be making a good recovery, don't they?
Yeah, I think a lot of that was over-exaggerated. That was what happens when a major player, namely Amazon, enters the market and, you know, kind of hogs press coverage in a particular way. And I think that, you know, book sales never really went down. They sort of plateaued a little bit, but kept on. People, especially in times of, you know, deep insecurity and anxiety and strife, people do turn to books as a certain, you know, as a medium with a certain kind of authority, rightly or wrongly. And people love shops and shopping and want to have somewhere to go. And so even, you know, even with the worst that the internet can do to us, there still seems to be a lot of demand for a place where you can go and hang out in a curated space and talk to people who know what they're talking about, but also open yourself up to chance encounters with books too. You know, on the internet, you get funneled down a kind of algorithmic, I don't know, rabbit hole where you follow what's supposed to be your preferences. Whereas in a bookshop, you can be surprised by things. People, you know, they can jump out at you, which is good.
Well, I guess I have to ask the person who couldn't remember the title but knew it had a blue cover, did you actually find the one they were after?
Blue is actually pretty good. That's not a bad sort of set of diagnostic criteria. And the blue book kind of cycles. For a little while, if someone was asking for a blue book, it was Gould's Book of Fish by Richard Flanagan. That was just standard. Now it's a couple of different things, but you, through the weird magic of demographics and what's in the news and things like that, which booksellers keep across, you can usually pick it. It's kind of spooky. I'm sure to a lot of customers it seems semi-supernatural, but there's only so many things it can be. And so even armed with just blue as a description, your bookseller can usually find something for you.